This is Barbara Ridenour returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated October 9th, 2015. We'll continue with the obituaries. Warren Call, 86, of Decatur, died Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. Services to celebrate his life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, October 10th, at Concordia Lutheran Church in Decatur. Visitation will be held from one hour prior to the services in the church. Burial with military rites will be in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to Concordia Lutheran Church. E. Lucille Deerdorf, 94, of Bethany, died Wednesday, October 7, 2015. A service to celebrate her life will be held at 12 noon Saturday, October 10th, Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery, Decatur. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. until service time. Memorials may be made to Faith Lutheran Church in Sullivan. Harlan L. Gilmore, 90, of Lake City, died Wednesday, October 7, 2015. Graveside services will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, October 12th, at Welch Cemetery, Ramsey. Visitation will be held from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Monday at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Lovington. Memorials may be made to the Lovington Ambulance Service. Byford P. Hancock, 85, of Arcola, formerly of Villa Grove, died Wednesday, October 7, 2015. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, October 10th, in the Joins Funeral Home, Illinois Route 130 South, Villa Grove. Burial will be in the Villa Grove Cemetery. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. today in the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Villa Grove Lions Club. Larry D. Morton, 74, of Bement, died Tuesday, October 6, 2015. In lieu of flowers, Larry's family will be available to share and celebrate his life on Monday, October 12, 2015. This informal gathering will be from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Bement United Methodist Church on 249 North Pyatt Street. A light buffet meal will be available. In lieu of flowers, please consider a memorial to one of the following: Bement United Methodist Church, Bement Food Pantry, or the Bement Veterans Memorial. Aaron and Susie Hines of Hines Funeral Home, Bement, are in charge of services. We'll turn now to the editorial page and continue with letters to the editor. Obama achievements are a cure for foxitis. I have a good friend who's been diagnosed with a serious condition called foxitis. Its primary symptom is that a seemingly otherwise sane person inexplicably develops a closed mind whenever the name of Barack Obama is mentioned. I was with this friend recently when he was suddenly overcome with an attack of foxitis. He burst out with ludicrous remarks such as, "Obama's goal was a socialist America." Then he challenged everyone present to tell him one thing Obama had accomplished. Since he seemed irrational at that point, no one wanted to confront him. I told him I would think about it and let him know. I'm doing this now publicly in the hope of helping others who may also suffer from this mystery ailment. Number one, Obamacare. In a massive study done by the World Health Organization in 2000, the U.S. ranked 37th in health care, in spite of spending a higher percentage of its wealth on health care than any other country. Something was drastically wrong. Number two, Obama ended the most disgraceful war in American history, Iraq. The only war America has ever instigated ended with 4,425 American deaths and 32,223 wounded. The long haul cost is estimated at an unbelievable $6 trillion. Obama led the country out of the Great Recession. Most importantly, with the passage of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Number four, Obama's foreign policy resulted in the historic renewal of diplomatic relations with Cuba. In the long run, this will surely help bring more freedom to their people and economic gains for both countries. Number five, Obama's foreign policy has recently resulted in an historic agreement with Iran, signed Ruby Reed Decatur. Council should vote no on Aldi rezoning plans. Empty storefronts near Water Street and Pershing Road, at French Quarter West on Pershing and near Pershing and Charles Street, and vacant lots near Martin Luther King and Ash Avenue at French Quarter West and near Pershing and Charles are only a few examples of Decatur's commercially zoned properties that are desperately waiting to be used again to bring in more tax revenue to Decatur. At some of these locations, parking lots and entrances and exits to major streets are already in place. With such available sites, why would Decatur Plan Commission recommend rezoning U.S. Business 51 and Ash as a commercial zone for a proposed Aldi store? Pershing Road, which combines Illinois 48 and Illinois 121, is also a major business thoroughfare. The empty storefronts along this corridor do absolutely nothing to bestow a favorable perception of Decatur. Problems with rezoning U.S. Business 51 and Ash include increased traffic on residential streets, 12 weekly truck deliveries entering from Oak Lake Lane, a residential street, increased traffic at Macon County's busiest intersection, difficult entry to the proposed Aldi from U.S. Business 51, and access only by way of a sharp left turn past two lanes of oncoming eastbound Ash traffic, refusal of city staff, quote, to make improvements deemed necessary if additional traffic generated by the store causes problems, end quote, 900 more cars estimated daily, double that to 1,800 if you count entrances and exits of 900 cars to Aldi, a bike and walking path very near the rear of Aldi's delivery area, and a very likely problem with water runoff west and downhill towards Stevens Creek. This rezoning will cause many more problems than benefits. The City Council should unanimously vote no to this rezoning, signed Kathy Fike, Decatur. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to the students and staff at Dennis School who celebrated the 40th anniversary of then-Governor Dan Walker signing into a law that made the monarch butterfly the state insect. The law was the result of lobbying from Dennis School third graders. This year's celebration was extra special because the monarch sculpture on the outside of the building was dedicated as a city landmark, again, thanks to the persistence of students at the school. Thumbs up to Baby Talk, which has opened a new office in the Wabash Crossing housing development. The office is located at 631 East Leafland Avenue, and outreach coordinator April Ingram said two-thirds of the at-risk families the agency serves through its Family Support Home Visiting Program live in the neighborhood surrounding the new office. The new office also frees space at the Baby Talks headquarters for its learning institute. Thumbs up to Sharon Alpe, who retired June 30th as the director of the Center for Entrepreneurship in the Tabor School of Business at Millikan University. Alpe, who is staying on at the school for at least a year as a consultant, has helped countless businesses and students during her time in the position. The new director for the center is Julianne Shields. Thumbs up to the annual walk to end Alzheimer's, which attracted hundreds of walkers to Forsyth Park on Saturday, the annual walk, part of a nationwide effort to raise money and awareness for the disease, had a local goal of raising $80,000, and a good deal of that was already pledged by Saturday's walk. Thumbs up to veterans of the Vietnam War who are being saluted this year as the country marks the beginning of the ground war in Southeast Asia. The Herald and Review is profiling 50 Vietnam War veterans in the newspaper over the next several weeks, and many more of them are profiled on our website, herald-review.com. Because of the controversy over the war at the time, these veterans have never been properly honored for their service. We encourage you to read their stories and understand that their service was outstanding. Thumbs up to a six-week art class that is helping high school students and young adults with disabilities find their art style. The class, sponsored by Macon Resources, Macon Pyatt Special Education, and the Decatur Arts Council, will culminate in a special exhibit, Our Voice Through Art, from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Friday, November 6th, at the Madden Arts Center, 125 North Water Street. Another series of art classes will be held in the spring. Again, that's Our Voice Through Art from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Friday, November 6th at the Madden Arts Center. In entertainment, Tim Kaine, use Emmys as a TV guide. Can you name an Emmy winner from this year? Let's make it easy. Just name the last comedy and drama series. If it's the best of television, it should be pretty easy to store and recall, right? You can be forgiven for not knowing the awarded comedy was Veep, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who also won Best Actress in a Comedy. The drama series award was captured by Game of Thrones, which also established a record for most Emmys in a single season, with 12. Unfortunately, the Emmys, along with every other award show, has seen its audience size plummet and its importance shrivel. Would you be surprised to learn Louis-Dreyfus won Best Comedic Actress Emmys for 3 different shows? Seinfeld, The New Adventures of Old Christine, and Veep? Or would you think that about figures and sounds about right? Now, some of the issue is passage of time. Before 1987, there were only 7 three-time MVPs in baseball history. In that same span, there were a mere 13 players who reached the career home run plateau of 500. Now, 10 players have at least 3 MVPs, and 27 players have hit more than 500 home runs. There's too much quality to be able to keep up like one could 30 years ago. Television executives have been saying the same thing recently. There's so much quality product, these executives say, it's impossible to keep up. As consumers, there's one phrase we should utter in response to that. Thank you. There's too much good art. What do? We try to experience as much as we can and want to. We never can be fully caught up. More good art will be produced while we're catching on what's already available. Once you accept this as a truth, it's wildly liberating. Your personal art library will never acquire everything. There's too much fantastic and too little time to peruse it all. But once you acknowledge you'll never have it all, you can become more selective and pursue what appeals to you and what interests you. It's not all going to be great. It never is. But coming to the conclusion that, even as Herald and Review entertainment editor, reality television programming was not something that had to be watched and followed and mentally cataloged. Giving up on things you think you should watch or read or listen to allows you the freedom to more deeply examine what you already know and love. It also offers you the opportunity to check out a show recommended by a friend or one that's become such a social media sensation you feel left out. The other thing that's great about this new world is for the first time a non-viewer can be well immersed in a fictional world just by following what's being discussed on social media. How many people have faked their way through conversations about a popular program? We may never know. The Emmys can help us sample as well. seeing social media posts on Emmys night of older viewers complaining they hadn't heard of any of these shows and didn't know any of these people was a misunderstood blessing to them. If there's too much good television, we can reasonably assume the award nominees are viewed at least by some people who watch a lot of television as the best medium has to offer. Maybe you see Timothy Hutton or Kevin Spacey nominated, or see Felicity Huffman and Jessica Lange's nominations are reminders that you always intended to take a look at that show. Today's Emmy can serve as a role once served by the Academy Awards, since movies, especially smaller independent films, played in fewer theaters due to costs. Sometimes the only way fans could find out about a film was when it was nominated for an award or for a bunch. It doesn't always work. The Oscars didn't bat 1,000 in finding excellent obscure films. The Emmys can be plagued by politics, payback wins, and other nonsense. But once you're looking for a way to fill up all that free time, the Emmys can give you at least a list. Milliken, Golden K. Kiwanis team up for a show. Decatur. For one girl, Umbrellas will be about more than just to keep the rain away. As part of its annual children's show Saturday and Sunday, October 10th and 11th, the Milliken Department of Theater and Dance will have partnered with the Golden K. Kiwanis to put together a show for young audiences and their families. With this year's show, Umbrella Escapades, the cast and crew have come together to create an entirely original production, with Milliken students writing the production from scratch. We had some more time this year, so we just said, why not make our own show, said Milliken's Denise Myers, who has directed the show for 2 decades. It was really that simple. Plus, I've always wanted to do something with umbrellas. In Umbrella Escapades, a young girl has to learn how to share and accept new ideas after her umbrella becomes upset by her actions and leaves her. The young girl chases after her umbrella, going through different worlds full of different kinds of umbrellas before she can find her own. And there will be many umbrellas. As Myers said, the cast already received 45 umbrellas, with more coming in every day. While the story is not complex, the cast is determined to make it a visual treat for the audiences. With minimal dialogue, it will be up to the actors and their ever-growing collection of umbrellas to tell the story through their actions. The hardest thing for doing a show for children is to really try and get into their minds, said Elizabeth Pillow, a Milliken sophomore and cast member. This may be a really great idea, but will the children understand it? Will they be able to grasp what we're telling in movement? Taylor McWilliams Woods said there's another aspect that does make performing for children a bit easier than a traditional production. If we're doing a show with umbrellas for adults, I'm not sure they would so easily say, so that umbrella is up and moving on its own? That's interesting, said McWilliams Woods, a Milliken sophomore who will play the main umbrella. Part of the fun for the cast has been the excitement of creating a play from thin air. As the crew continue to bounce ideas and even potential endings off one another with weeks to go before its debut, it's been a big playground. We've gotten to collaborate with one another and really just make it up, said Jacob Livingston, a Milliken sophomore, who will be in the production. It's not something you get to do with many other shows. Garrett Mayberry, a Milliken sophomore and cast member, said it has really allowed the students to learn from one another. You can just see how creative these people are and what they have to offer one another, he said. If you go, it's Umbrella Escapades at 1 p.m. Saturday, October 10th, and Sunday, October 11th. It's in the Albert Taylor Theater, Schilling Hall, Milliken University campus. Tickets are $6 for adults, $4 for children and Milliken students, available at the door, Kirkland Fine Arts Center box office, or by phone at 217-424-6318. That's 424-6318. Dear Abby, party guest feels singled out by subtle special treatment. "Dear Abby, I was invited to a small gathering of women. I arrived punctually, was greeted by the hostess, and asked if I wanted some water to drink. I accepted. As I looked around the room, everyone else had a glass of wine. When another woman arrived a little while later and joined our group, the hostess asked her if she wanted wine or water to drink. I've never abused alcohol. Why was I not given a choice? I later found out that all the other women had been given a show-up time that was half an hour earlier than my show-up time. I am hurt by the way I was treated. What are your thoughts? Signed, a second-class citizen in Florida. Dear second-class citizen, I think your hostess could learn a few things about hospitality because you were treated shabbily. As it stands, you have nothing to lose by asking her why, because I can't imagine that you would ever accept another invitation from the woman if one is ever offered. Entitlement concern. Dear Abby, at what point should grown kids in their 20s pay for their own extras, i.e. cell phone, gas, movies, gym memberships? In my opinion, if they can't afford these luxuries, they should get a second job or do without. My husband, on the other hand, thinks they should be rewarded simply for being good kids. At this stage in our lives, I think gifts should be reserved for birthdays and Christmas only, and that we have been raising kids with a sense of entitlement that may be detrimental to their future and to our retirement. What are your thoughts on this? Signed, Odd Woman Out in Pennsylvania. Dear Odd Woman Out, my thoughts are these. If you are truly concerned that your husband's generosity could have a negative impact on your retirement savings, then he may be overly generous. If the children expect these gifts and don't realize how lucky they are to be receiving this kind of largesse, the gift should be stopped. However, if neither of these things is true and your husband derives pleasure from doing this for them, you should stay out of it. Scary secret. Dear Abby, 6 months ago, my brother told me he vapes. At first I didn't think much of it because I pride myself on how well I keep secrets. I haven't told our parents, but now his grades have started sliding and I wonder if there's a connection. He's going into his senior year of high school and his graduation is on the line. If vaping has had an effect on his grades, it might be best for me to tell our parents and figure things out from there. I don't know what the right choice is. What should I do? Holding a secret in Washington. Dear Holding, from what I have been reading lately, some teens have begun vaping marijuana, which is known to impair memory. Depending upon what substance your brother has been vaping, it could definitely be why his grades have dropped. Secrets that can pose a danger shouldn't be kept because they are not harmless. I think your instinct is to share your concerns with your parents, and I concur. On Biz, Little Caesars, Hope's Attic 2, Wembley's East End Grill. Pizza has now arrived south of Lake Decatur with a new Little Caesars restaurant that opened Tuesday at 3611 East US 36 at the corner with 36th Street. It's the city's second Little Caesars location and is being served up due to popular demand, said Ellen Cope, one of the franchise owners. We had a lot of customers coming to our North Water Street location and asking, when are you going to put one on our side of town? They requested us to be south of the lake, Cope said. A suitable home was found in a former car wash, fully remodeled with the bonus of a drive-through feature, something the North location doesn't have. Cope said the new restaurant, which is carry-out only, will create 30 new jobs, and hiring is going well. The restaurant will be open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday, working on the principle that if you build it, they will come. Cope said it's time for her hungry customers to deliver. So now that they've said they wanted a restaurant closer to where they live, they'd better show up, right? She said with a laugh. 10 years and 1 month after Decatur Care's rescue mission closed its Water Street thrift store, the ministry on Monday opened Hope's Attic 2, next door at 1029 North Water Street. Executive Director Jonathan Kelm said the original Hope's Attic, open since 2002 at 2940 North Martin, North Martin Luther King Drive, doesn't produce enough revenue to support a larger shelter for homeless men, nor does it allow him to find a new home for Grace House for homeless women, housed temporarily at the former Water Street Mission downtown for the past 6 months. Pershing Road Mission for Men has been open since 2013 at 2175 East Pershing Road. Situated in the former home of Bud's Billiard, Hope's Attic 2 is open from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The store manager is Christy Anderson. The former Water Street Mission thrift store was in the same shopping center, but at 1025 North Water Street when it closed on September 1, 2005. Last fall, Decatur Cares Auto opened across the street at 1058 North Water Street and has since branched out into auto sales, lawn care, and handyman services. Call the ministry at 217-424-2381. That's 424-2381. When Jeremy Cerulik, co-owner of Wembley's East End Grill in Clinton, woke up on an April Fool's Day phone call, he thought it was a cruel joke. The restaurant on Clinton's east side was on fire. "It was no joke," said his wife, Jennifer Cerulik. "We had to gut the building. There was a lot of smoke damage and a lot of heat damage. Everything had to be replaced, including the windows and doors. We had insurance, but we had to start over." The Ceruliks were 1 month shy of celebrating their first anniversary at the diner, 308 South Portland Place. Authorities said the fire started because of an electrical issue. Now, after 6 months of rebuilding, the diner is expected to reopen Saturday. The new diner will be much like the old one, except that a few more seats will be available, Jennifer Cerulik said. "We are very excited to open because it has been such a long process and our life changed completely for 6 months," Jennifer Cerulik said. "Hours will be from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Saturday, and 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday. Call 217-570-0109. That's 570-0109. Girl, 15, seriously injured by car. A 15-year-old female pedestrian suffered serious injuries in Decatur Wednesday afternoon when she was hit by a car. The accident happened about 4 p.m. in the 1600 block of North Monroe Street, and police said the girl was taken first to a local hospital, but later transferred to a regional trauma center due to the severity of her injuries. The driver involved, who was not named in police reports, was not listed as being hurt. The accident is under investigation by Decatur Police Department. Right now it's 60 degrees in Decatur with a dew point of 51. Today, cloudy skies, high around 65. Winds north at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low 42 degrees, winds northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunny skies, high of 71, winds light and variable. That's all we have time for today with the Decatur Herald and Review. This is Barbara Ridenour. Have a wonderful weekend and week to follow. I look forward to reading with you again soon.